You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
I've seen people fall who were the ministers, but they fell because the person was so convincing. That's why God was always telling the children of Israel, don't intermarry with them, don't intermingle with them. Keep to yourself, to those that believe in God, because if you do, their sin is going to become your sin. We got to be smart, folks. Not me, Pastor Jeff. I've been walking with God 20 years. I'd never fall. Watch it.
Do you know that as you allow worldly influences into your faith journey, you risk drifting further from the heart of the Lord? In today's message, Pastor Jeff wants you to know that you must let God's truth be your guiding light, steering you away from distractions that will lead you astray. By prioritizing His word and promises, you align yourself with His divine will and purpose for your life. Choose to walk in God's ways, even when the world pulls you in different directions. Experience the depth of His grace. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Jude as he continues his message. But you, beloved.
Peter says, you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow. Everybody say grow. Listen to the verbiage. Let us go on, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what do you build on top of the foundation? You build Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 4, listen to this. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about. That means blown about with every wind of doctrine that comes through town. By the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting they involve themselves in, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things, into Him who is the head, Christ. So Jesus is the root and ground of your most holy faith. So listen to what He says, go on, grow up, and grow in to Jesus. So let me ask you, every day, what bricks are you adding to your house of faith on top of the foundation that is Christ? What bricks are you adding, and how are you adding them? Because if you don't build on top of your foundation, the world will do it for you. So we got to be very aggressive and intentional about this. So every day, I grab some bricks straight out of the Bible. You can do this if you want or not, but I go through the Bible every year. And every morning, I just bow before God. I'm so thankful for the Word. I cherish the Word. I cherish the Bible. It's God's Word. And I cherish it. And so what do? I read my reading for the day. And when I'm doing it, I'm putting bricks on the house. And they are solid bricks, strong mortar, the mortar of grace and faith. And I build that house into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay? If you're not doing it, something else is building on your house. So building is the first word. Then Jude says praying. Everybody say praying. In the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now this is not necessarily talking about praying in an unknown language, although that can be part of it. But that is not the initial gist of it, the meaning of it. He's saying, we pray in the Spirit's strength, in His wisdom. He moves our hearts. He directs our petitions. He places on our hearts what to pray for. Because we got to remember, the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer is a praying Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a praying Holy Spirit. Amen? The Bible says, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Groanings. That's not talking about tongues, although it can be, but it's not talking about tongues. It's saying He's moving down. The Holy Spirit knows what you and I need. Paul, in another place in Corinthians, says, who knows a man but the Spirit that is in a man? So what does the Holy Spirit know? He knows your deepest needs and mine. He knows what we need better than we know what we need. Because who knows a man better than the Spirit that lives in the man? And the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. Jesus is praying for you and me. Amen? Remember, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned to me, you will strengthen the brethren. So Peter, or Jesus saw the whole thing that was about to go down with Peter, the attack of Satan on his life. He said, Peter, I see what Satan's about to do. I'm not going to stop him from doing it, but I'm going to pray you survive it and thrive after it. So I prayed for you that even though you miserably fail, you will come back and it will not knock you out of the race. I'm praying for you. Same thing, same idea. Holy Spirit prays for you and me. Who knows what he prayed for us today? Why are you here tonight? How are you here on a Wednesday night when it's 150 out? How are you here on a Wednesday night? How are you still growing? Because how many times has the devil knocked you down and you thought, this is it for me, but here you are again. And you're still walking, still seeking, still praying, still reading, still growing. How'd that happen? Holy Ghost prayed for you. The more we allow him to guide us in our praying, the more we will pray, and the more effective our prayers will be. And you know, let me say this about prayer. It's not twisting God's arm to do what we want him to do. It's not manipulating God, but real praying is praying according to his will. If we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions we've requested from him. When somebody says to you, well, praying according to the saying, if it be thy will, O Lord, when you hear somebody say that's not a prayer of faith, you tell them they don't know the Bible. Because even Jesus said, pray after this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a lack of prayer. It's total trust and total faith to say to God, if it's your will, I trust you, bring it to pass. And it's one of the most powerful weapons in our arsenal, contending for the faith, fighting for the faith, standing for the faith, defending the faith. That's what Jude said in verse 3. Contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's what we're called to do. So how do you do that? Well, one way is you stay in prayer. All right? The kind of praying, this kind of praying, releases the power of the Holy Spirit against Satan's strongholds and achieves things that we will never accomplish by argument or debate or organization or politics. So, say with me, building, then praying. And Jude says, but you, beloved, also keep yourselves. So, keeping, keep yourselves. Where? In the love of God. It's really interesting here. The word for keep is to watch over or to keep an eye on something. All right? The danger Jude is addressing here is that of becoming. Watch this now. I'm going to give you two things that it probably means. First of all, the danger of becoming angry and bitter and hostile towards people that are hostile to you as a Christian. Somebody comes against me, I want to retaliate. I know that's none of you, but I'll go ahead and give my testimony. I want to distribute some Texas justice, right? I don't like people coming against me, all right? It's very hard to bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Why? Because he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Because if you love those who love you, Jesus said, what have you done? Don't the publicans do the same? Everybody loves those who love them. But what about when they hate you? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Now, I think there's a secondary meaning, and here it is quickly. Every day we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. I read of some well-known, strong, historic Christian in the past who put it this way. He said, I get with God every morning, and I do not come out of my prayer closet until I'm happy in the Lord. I don't come out till I'm happy in the Lord. Well, how about this? I don't come out until I have the love of God swirling and glowing in my heart. Keep yourself not in bitterness, not in guilt, not in fear, but in the love of God. Keep yourself there. Keep yourself there. Keep an eye on where your heart's going. Keep an eye on it. The proverb says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the very course and direction of your whole life. Watch over it. Keep an eye on it. Watch over your heart. Watch over what gets into your heart, rules your heart, guides your heart. Watch it. Keep an eye on it. You know, we got two new little dogs. We did. How many times have Cindy and I said to ourselves, what were we thinking? Because, oh my. Anyway, all I'm going to tell you is they weren't trained in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean. And they're little schnauzers. So here's the thing. Take them out back at night. You better keep an eye on him, because they get away from you in no time. They're gone. Shoot. And you find yourself befuddled because there's one but not the other. Where'd the other one go? Oh, my goodness, but I can't leave him to go chase him, because if I leave him, he's gone too. You got to keep your eye on him. So now, because that happened to me once or twice, now when I take him out there, I'm just like this. Stay right here. Stay right here. I got my eye on you. You're not going to get 5 feet from me. Keep your eye like that on your heart. Watch over it. Because you know what? Your heart will get away from you. The real danger is there's a big dog next door and our backyard gate or fence is metal and they fit right through it. So here's the thing. If they go to the other side of the fence, bad things could happen. You know what will happen if you don't watch your heart? You'll go to the other side of the fence. And on the other side of the fence, there's a mad, bad devil waiting for you to transgress and go through the fence. Amen. So say with me, build, pray, keep, and looking. Looking. Verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking. The word looking has to do with your focus. Now listen carefully to me, because we're coming to the close here, but I want you to catch this. The word itself means to wait for. The idea is that we Christians are ever and always to be looking and waiting for the return of Jesus. Never forget about that. Because the parables Jesus told you, remember, it's when they said, my Lord delays his coming. And they begin to eat and drink with the drunken, and they begin to abuse people. That's Jesus' parable. Said, you'll begin to eat and drink with the drunken, and you'll begin to abuse your fellow servants. So abuse, be wrong, deal with people wrongly, treat them wrongly when you get away from the Lord. So Jesus said, he should never have said, my Lord delays. Because as soon as you say that, your focus goes from here to here. Because now there's no fear of God. Okay? So Jesus said, you ought to be like men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. Luke 12:36. Now here's the truth. Your focus will decide the quality of your life. Your focus will decide the quality of your life. You can focus on things that make you worry. That's going to decide the quality of your life. You can focus on fearful things, lustful things, angry things, wrong things, and it'll decide the quality of your life. You want to enjoy life? Fix your focus. Fix your focus. Some people focus on their problems. That's all they're ever focused on, their problems. You get around them, all they talk about is their problems. Until you're looking for the escape route, the exit door. Have I told you about my problems? Yeah, last time we were together, you told me about your problems. Let me tell you again, because I got some new ones. And everything they talk about is their problems. Tell me what the Lord's doing for you. Amen? Yeah, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, the other is going wrong. Well, what's going right? If you can't think of anything else, just say, well, I'm saved. Hallelujah. That's right. So, amen. The Bible says the Christian's focus is to be on Jesus. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, let's move right along. The truth is that these trying times that we're in, and we're in trying times, folks, in these days of growing apostasy, because apostasy is growing. Mega church pastor, pastored for decades, apostatizing like that, writing books on atheism now, whole denominations throwing the Bible out the back door. Yeah, we're in a time of apostasy. What Jude was addressing. As God's word and Jesus the Savior are removed from our culture, it's only going to go from bad to worse, because you take God out, the devil rushes in. Amen. Now, finally, he makes a statement in verses 22 and 23. So say with me together, build, pray, keep, and look. That's why I get with God first thing in the morning, because I set my focus in the morning. I set my focus. I don't want to do it in the middle of the day, because I always feel like I'm playing catch up. I should have done it when I first got up, put my focus on him. Okay? So say it with me, build, pray, keep, look. Now he says, on some, this is a very strange verse. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now there's a difficult verse. Let's unpack it. We're called to have, notice, compassion on some people, making a distinction between them and someone else. What does that mean? On some have compassion, making a distinction. What does that mean? Well, remember, he's talking about apostates. So the apostates themselves, Jude tells us, are doomed. They've denounced Christ, want nothing to do with him. The Bible is very clear on this. But their victims can still be rescued. Those that have fallen prey to their false teaching that Jude so strongly warns about. Their victims can still be delivered and saved. That's the distinction. You're making a distinction between the apostate and their victim. He's saying when it comes to their victims, have compassion. Reach out to them. Don't let them go down the sewer. Try to restore them. Try to rescue them. They need compassionate Christians to help them untangle the lies they've been hearing. Are you with me? So you find them. You go find them. I've learned this. Somebody misses church 1 week, I don't even hardly think about it. They miss 2 weeks, I notice. They miss 3 weeks, I tell myself, something's wrong. Almost always something's wrong. So I go, and I'll look for them. You okay? What's going on? Talk to me. Give me an update. Give me a state of the union. And many times I'll hear, wow, I've been so overwhelmed with life. I'm really struggling. I know I've been messing around in some things, and please pray for me. And I do my best to have compassion and untangle the mess. Now, here's the thing. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. You know of certain people in church that have gotten out and started drifting. I don't know anything about. So should you wait for me to figure it out? No, you ought to go to them. and talk to them. Give them a ring. Give them a call. Say, hey, you okay? So sometimes compassion finds a way where words can't. I'm not condemning you. I love you in Christ. I want to see you restored. But then there are others we must treat with great caution. Watch this. Others save with fear. Jesus taught, we're to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. Which comes first? Wise as a serpent. Because Christians tend to have great big hearts with no wisdom. Or a little bit. We get into trouble all the time because of our big hearts with no discernment. So he says here, he says, there are some you're going to have to be very careful and you're going to have to walk in a little bit of fear and caution. Now, here's what I believe this means. I've personally seen people go to help others and fall into the very sin that they were in. Others save with fear. Fear of what? Listen to Galatians 6:1. If any of you are overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go to such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I've seen people go to help people out of immorality and fall into immorality. I've seen people go to help somebody out of drugs and fall into drugs. That's why he said, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. What does that mean? That right now in their sin, they're carrying the equivalent of leprosy. And you don't want it on you. So you got to go in meekness and say, Lord, I'm going to go help this person, but I'm not going alone. I'm taking somebody with me. And we're going to minister to them. But I have a hatred for the defiling that is in their life, and I'm not going to let it on me. Are you there? I've seen people fall who were the ministers, but they fell because the person was so convincing. That's why God was always telling the children of Israel, don't intermarry with them, don't intermingle with them, keep to yourself, to those that believe in God, because if you do, their sin is going to become your sin. We got to be smart, folks. Not me, Pastor Jeff. I've been walking with God 20 years. I'd never fall. Watch it. Take heed, lest you think you stand, lest you fall. In dealing with some people, you got to use wise caution because they can be very seductive, very convincing, very persuasive. Approach them with another believer. Now he ends with a note of faith, and I want us to quote together the last two verses because now we're at the end of Jude. How many of you were blessed by this? Amen? Are you ready? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Having a foundation in knowing Jesus is a solid start, but it's not enough to merely rest on that knowledge. Today, Pastor Jeff wants you to imagine your faith as a construction project with Jesus as the unshakable foundation. However, a building doesn't grow by merely having a foundation. It needs walls, floors, and rooms. Similarly, your faith needs continuous construction. Don't settle for a basic structure. Aim to build a towering skyscraper of faith growing with Jesus.
For more teachings and information about this ministry, we encourage you to check out hardwired.org. Pastor Jeff Wickwire has many more messages there. You'll find them under the audio tab. This will surely help you be encouraged in the Word. Once again, that's hardwired.org. We want to invite you to come back again next time for another teaching from Pastor Jeff. Daniel has more on that, giving you something to look forward to.
In a world increasingly hostile to the message of hope through Jesus, it's crucial not to respond to hatred with more hatred. Next time, Pastor Jeff wants you to picture yourself as a beacon of light amidst darkness. When others hurl darkness your way, respond with the brilliance of God's love. Imagine your heart as a fountain overflowing with grace and dousing the flames of hatred. Rather than succumbing to the prevailing bitterness, let the love of Christ emanate from you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today as we studied God's Word. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Jeff, visit hardwired.org. On behalf of Pastor Jeff and the entire production team, we invite you to join us again on Hardwired.